Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Selenium Flagello 2014 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations of Selenium Flagello. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining Selenium Flagello fiscal year 2014 financial results conference call. I'm Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations. Hosting the call today is Pietro Salini, Selenium Flagello Chief Executive Officer. Also joining him on the call is Massimo Ferrari, General Manager, Finance and Corporate Group CFO, and Mr. Alessandro De Rosa, Deputy CFO. Before we start our call, let me remind you of the usual housekeeping safe harbor notice. Any forward-looking statements embedded in today's conference call are based on our current expectations and certain planning assumptions, which are subject to risk and uncertainties. The actual results may differ materially due to factors mentioned in the press release issued today and discussed in the conference call. To this end, we encourage you to review the safe harbor statement contained in the press release that we issued with the results. Finally, I would also like to remind you that an MP3 file will be available shortly after the conclusion of the call and can be accessed through the investor relations section of Selenium Flagello website. As a usual reminder, during the Q&A session, please limit yourself to one question and a brief follow-up. Now I would like to turn over the call to Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Pietro.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon. I'm particularly proud to be here today to celebrate our first year as a combined company. What a year it has been. Not only we did beat the growth and profitability targets set for 2014, but we also managed to grow our order book, build a more solid capital structure, and reduce our debt. All of this while successfully merging the operation of the two companies. I'm particularly proud of what we have done as our biggest achievement, which is the building up of a very capable and competent management team. We hired in this year 3,400 people. It has been a very challenging task for all of us to take these people and put them to work. We achieved yesterday, I was to recruit our 100 new young engineers, which I greet to come and join us to work for the future of our company. After this year together, we can feel confident in our ability to achieve the ambitious new targets we set in our business plan. What is key to our focus on what we do best, large, complex civil engineering projects, especially in growing markets where the potential is enormous. This focus is warranted. Demand for public infrastructure is growing faster than forecast. The estimated size for this potential market has been raised to 885 billion euros from the previous 550 billion. This means that in one single year, more than 50% more new contracts are visible to our commercial activity. To give you the idea of the potential for a company like ours, we received about 6.5 billion worth of new orders last year, bringing our total backlog to nearly 32.4 billion, of which 25.3 are of construction new orders. We have a large room to grow. One project that brought us two big orders in 2014 was the planned Brenner Tunnel between Italy and Austria, which recognized our expertise in drilling underground. Once completed, the tunnel will be the longest underground rail connection in the world and a pioneering work of engineering. Another important project is the 20 billion metro network in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on which Selenium Flagello is working with a group of partners. Yet another example of our leadership in developing public transportation networks, just like the one in Doha, Qatar, and Lima, Peru. Last year also saw us begin to lay the foundation of the company that we want to become. We streamlined operation, extracted valuable synergies, and increased the free float to nearly 40% from the 10% we had. Offering more shares to the investors has raised our profile in financial markets and made us a more accessible investment. All of these efforts are part of our goal to become a truly global company, not only on our market of reference in Milano, but also on capital markets worldwide. Investors were not our only concerns, however. In October, we signed an important agreement with national and international unions to promote and respect workers' rights, setting a precedent in the construction industries. It demonstrates our recognition that the company's greatest asset is its people. Every one of the more than 3,400 designers, engineers, builders, and the other workers who represent Cisalini in Pregiro in more than 40 countries. All of them are competent and dedicated individuals whose work helps improve the quality of life of communities, whether it be a dam, a road, or a railway. Such is our optimism for the future that we have launched a campaign to hire 15,000 people during the next 3 years. The new recruits, many of them young trainees, will eventually become the managers who will lead our company into the future. As part of its policy of sustainability and social responsibility, Cisalini in Pregiro is keen to transmit the value that they create for communities beyond the construction site. Just to provide an example, we are working free of charge with the city of Genoa to secure the banks of the Bisagno River, which often causes massive flooding when it overflows during heavy rainfall. Whether it be on a project such as this one or a construction site in Africa or Middle East or somewhere else in the world, it is this commitment from our employees that makes me so proud. What we have done, we augmented the critical mass in terms of revenues, management, resources, competence to compete successfully into the international market. We've given a new vision to all the management to reach the goals that they have in front of them, the difficult and challenging targets. We are much more capable now to meet and to reach our targets than we were 1 year ago. When we were talking about our business plan targets for 2017, we were talking about a plan in which 60% of the revenues were coming from the backlog. We are now in a plan which 80% of the total volume of the revenues for the total plan is coming from the backlog. We have done big changes inside the capital. The structure of the gross debt has been lowered by 300 million, and we have given a big important renegotiation to our debt structure that changes the duration of the debt and reduces the cost of it. We have in front of us a market which is improving and continues to improve. We see an enormous opportunity around the world, and that, as I said before, the growth, it is so fast that in just 1 year it is 50% more the visible project in front of us that they were at the beginning of the 2014. We have also a better market in Italy, which is very important. The resurgence of the Italian market will make a boost in our domestic orders, which are very important to give stability to our turnover and to the visibility of the market. We have proven to have a successful, profitable growth business model, which is impervious to the actual situation of turmoil that is often found around the international market. Notwithstanding whatever you see every day, ISIS, oil, turmoil around the disappearing of the Russian market or whatever it is in front of us, still Cisalini in Pregiro delivers and makes the growth that it has designed to make. This business model has allowed us to achieve and exceed the guidance targets notwithstanding what has happened. we delivered 4.2 billion of turnover, which means an 11% growth around. We made 436 million of EBITDA, which makes an EBITDA margin of 10.4%, which is exceeding the guidance. We made 258 million of EBIT, which makes an EBIT margin of 6.2%, which exceeds the guidance of 5% we given last year. And we got construction orders of around 5.9 billion, which is better than what was expected last year. Also, the net financial position, it is around the numbers that we gave to you of 100 more or less, that was the target for the year. This has been achieved, if you think, not taking into account the difficulties coming from Libya, for the lack of the advance payment coming from that countries, from the slowdown and reduced rate of progress in some sites in Italy, the slow coming into execution of the new orders we got in some other countries of the world. So it means that the business model is able to overcome certain difficulties that we face on the everyday business. The geographic and segment diversification, it is in line with the business model. It means that what we achieved today in this year makes exactly what we were targeting as a better diversification in terms of geographical footprint and segment and business of segments. We have deleveraged our risk profile in changing from having larger contracts concentrated in a better profile of different contracts. Construction backlog, it is now six times the 2014 revenues. This is unique in our segment of construction industry. It is the only company so far that has such a visibility into the future that can see exactly what happens into the next years. We have revenues enough in front of us not to take risks, not to enter into difficult jobs just for meeting the goal of having something to do. As I said, now we have 80% of our future business plan, which is already covered. We have time to make our choices. ...61% of our targeted market, it is now growing. We are in front of us in the next 4 years, there are 885 billion of new potential orders, out of which 90% it is known by name. We are following now projects that we know where they are, what are they needing, which type of alliances we have to do, what type of strategic suppliers we have to choose, or strategic alliances with our partners in order to better tap this market. We have a low borrowing cost to provide the right condition to stimulate countries to expand the existing as well as the new infrastructure investment. This low rate, it is boosting this market into all countries, which now needs to make works for the people, labor. They want to invest to create the condition for a different growth into any countries. I will leave now the word to Massimo Ferrari to explain to you the financial result that we got. Thank you.
Thank you, Pietro. Going very quickly, starting from the slide 9, as Pietro mentioned, we achieved the targets for growth, marginality, and net financial position. We improved significantly the debt-equity ratio, went down to 0.08 from 0.2 in 2013, one of the best in the industry. In terms of revenues, we increased significantly more than 10% from 2013 to 2014. The incidence of the domestic market is 14%, and 86% of revenues come from the international market, testifying the high geographic diversification of our company. In terms of profitability, we achieved a marginality better than our target, thanks to the mix effect, and also thanks for to saving that we started, as you know, already in 2014. We just launched a new program in order to speed up the synergies that we put in the business plan, and we are very confident to achieve a significant improvement just already in 2016. Regarding the net financial position, page 12, we reduced the gross debt of more than 300 million euro. We renegotiated the bank loan in improving the margin, reducing the margin for bank loan from 4.2% to 2.5%, increasing the average debt maturity. The financial charges net are around 90 million euro in 2014, net of the capitalized cost coming from the acquisition finance and the bond issue that we made in 2012. In the slide 13, we show the cash flow breakdown. As you can see, the cash flow from operation are around 436 million euro. The working capital variation is around 77 million euro. And then we are the effect coming from taxation that are slightly better than our expectation. And of course, financial charges, the disposal of discontinued operation, and the effect of the capital increase that was in our business plan and we realized in June last year. I leave the floor to Pietro regarding for the outlook and the future of our company.
I want to say, with these data and the management team that we have achieved, it is to me now important to say that the company is growing, the market is there. We may say that we are very confident to meet our targets in 2015, and that we foresee a growth of more than 15% in our revenues, that we expect marginality to be good. We have an EBITDA margin of around 10.5%, and we expect an EBIT margin of 5.5%, around 5.5%. We expect that new orders will be in line with what we've got in 2014, around 6 billion, 6.5 including the concessions. We expect our net financial position to be in line with the data of 2014, so let's say 89 is the net financial position. We expect to be around that numbers. We have a very good visibility for the 2017 targets. We think that that this year it is still a challenging year for us in terms of what we have to do, but the development of the turnover coming from the backlog is rapidly increasing in 2016 and 17 due to the production rate which is expected in that years that will make very quick the growth that is expected in these that years only for the backlog that we have already in hands. So let's say that the growth is in our hands and that we are not looking around for contracts in order to catch that numbers. We have already that in our backlog. What we see is that marginality is going to increase into the future due to the savings that are going to be caught by the fact of the reorganization and the merger which has been completed. We are reducing the general head office cost, and we are in a good reduction rate of what is the ratio of head office to revenues, which is important to catch. These targets, of course, what I want to say that we have put our business plan to a stress test, and what we have said, it is done zeroing the Libya, which was present in our previous plan, and so the guidance that we gave to you and the target that we are confirming, they are being confirmed, and the data of the guidance is being given without any Libya inside it, which is a great effort from our side because it means overcoming a big production and revenues and EBIT expected from that contract. But nevertheless, I think that we are positive in other situation, and we think that we can overcome that situation and not bringing any difference to what it was expected from us. So I think that is particularly positive to say that the area of risk in our business plan have been put to a stress, and we can reconfirm what are the targets that were given to the market. Well, I think this is all for me.
Thank you very much, Pietro. And I think now we can open for the Q&A session. Sherry?
Okay, excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Giuseppe Pugliesi of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Giuseppe Pugliese from Intermonte. I have one strategic question. When you released first your guidance for 2017, the world was totally different with today we have the possibility, the company has the possibility to leverage because we have cheap money and so on. Do you think that under this new environment, you can consider to increase the leverage of the company in the next 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
Well, of course, this is a possibility. I always said to the analysts and to the investors that having a net cash position in the company was an achievement looking only at numbers, but that where possible investment in terms of external growth, and that of course there are, when we find better possibility than the return on the accounts, bank accounts for the investment of money, this will be done. This is now the situation. We have a better financial profile. The merger is concluded. The situation of the market is improving. Our marginality is growing. So I think that is the time to start thinking to doing something else. with the money that we have in front of us. A possibility would be also, as I said, that in case we do not find any possibility of investment, another possibility would be to distribute a larger dividend to the shareholders. But I think this is a very, very, let's say, rare and odd situation.
But in your view, what is the optimal leverage that a company like Salini can have in the midterm? In terms of debt to EBITDA or debt to equity ratio?
Well, what we think is what is sustainable for us in terms of interest and that to give a net profit for the company means that we have to reduce the scale not only of the net debt but also of the gross debt. So this is something that comes because we have to lower the figures of the interest charges at the end of the balance sheet in order to give a better cash results and also a better dividend to our investors. So what I will think is that the reduction in terms of net debt, it is important, but the most important and significant achievement will be the reduction of the gross debt. On that respect, we are, of course, continuously thinking to how to better reduce this cost and to lower the gross debt, which includes, of course, the restructuring of the debt that we made so far, but we are also thinking at other measures that may reduce further the gross debt.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Giuseppe Mapelli of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. I have two questions. They are related to Todini. I saw your press release that you split Todini in different tranches and you're not going to sell everything. And let's say, can you elaborate a little bit more about this possibility? And always related to Todini, can you give us an idea of the losses that have been reported in the fourth quarter and also an update on the intercompany loans that you have towards Todini. Thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. We confirm that we are going to sell Todini, the whole Todini, also if we split in the Italian branches and the Italian perimeter and the international ones. We received some very important interest from Italian and international companies. In the last quarter, Todini didn't have any losses, so it's quite at break-even in terms of operation. And of course, we reduced the gross the net debt of Todini, both to the parent company and to banks, and we are confident to complete the process in 2015.
Can you remind me what is the amount of intercompany loans that you have towards Todini?
Around 100 million euro.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ben?
The next question is for Ms. Irene Song of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Just have two questions. First is your 2015 guidance for EBIT margin. I appreciate that there was some favorable business mix effect, but from what I know, I think 2014 EBIT was a clean number, exceptionals. So I want to ask why the margin guidance for 15 is only 5.5, and I ask especially because I expect some synergies to come from the merger this year as well. So I'm just trying to understand your guidance, where your guidance is based on. Second is just broadly on Panama. I think there continues to be some unresolved disputes for this project. Just wondered if you could just update us on what exactly is pending on this front and, you know, any risk, especially from a cash perspective, we should be aware of. Thank you.
Yes, let me say something about the guidance. Last year we gave a guidance of 5, and we were satisfied on giving something more to the market. This year we had to take into consideration the difficulties that are challenging that is market that we have in front of us, the zeroing of the Libya, which has an effect, of course, into the books. But we are confident. Let's say I said to you that I see a booming market in front of us, and that the capacity of the company to face difficulties and to manage a difficult issue is bettering. So I expect that these numbers will be met. And for the Panama affairs, well, Panama, it was a nightmare when we started this company and when we bought in Pregillo. It was a nightmare, and maybe you remember it was the first issue that we had to work on, because the site was going to a stop, it could be transformed into a mess. We are now very near to completing the job, which means that notwithstanding who is the responsible, there will be a Panama Canal, which is an achievement by any standards, and that our company, it is proud to be the one that is building one of the largest infrastructure ever made by a man into this earth. But secondly, we won into the tribunal the most important fact, the fact that the client has been recognized negligent. And this was an issue, because of course the entire claims was based on the fact that who was responsible to made a mistake, whether the client or the companies. Who was the responsible to make a mistake in terms of making a lower tender or unjustified discount on the tender? This has been proven by these gentlemen, which were internationally chosen by both parties. The only negligent party was the client. He has taken out very important information to the bidders, and there's hidden very important problems, which were the ground conditions at that time. They are being condemned for that reason, only for that reason, and specifically for the damage that thing has created to $240 million. But what has not been judged so far is the consequence of what is this thing creating to the companies. It means in terms of time, in terms of damage, in terms of disorganization, in changement of the total works that was foreseen. So I am confident that the future decision by that tribunal will be consequent to that decision.
Thank you, Irene. Any follow-up?
Yeah, just can I just quickly follow up on the first, the guidance bit. Can you just confirm let us know if you guys are factoring in any cost synergies from the merger in 15?
Yes, we can confirm that. We do not have, we still don't have the number, but a part of the synergies will be in 2015. The most significant part of the plan of synergies will be in 2016 in advance in respect with our expectation and in respect with what we gave to the market when we stated that 100 million euro will be the benefit from 2017.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Irene.
The next question is from Mr. Roland Vetter of CF Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. You mentioned that there's a very big opportunity out there, and I also got the same message from other companies, that on a global basis, there must be a very big pipeline, which actually is increasing, and there's very few companies which can execute this project. Given the improvement in the outlook, the 7 billion of target that you have for 2017, is this like the maximum that you can do in terms of capacity? Or if markets are doing well, could we see that you'd maybe do better than 7 billion?
I always say hold your horses, which is important because this is a guidance in which we have to be judged in a year time, and we will be judged in 3 years time on the targets that we have given. So I do not exclude that with a specific lucky market in front of us, we could do better than what we are foreseeing now. I do not exclude that, but I will not say that now. So I would say we will stick to the what is our plan. I want to remember to all of us that that plan was foreseeing to make a double-digit growth, but not only for 1 year, for four consecutive years, which means almost doubling the size of the company we took in 2000 at the beginning of 2014. So this is a very challenging plan, which is doubling the size of the EBIT, and also releasing cash. I think that is substantially challenging to not overstate it and not try to overcome. It is something that we have to meet and that we have to make every day. It is very complicated already to make it like that.
I agree, it's a great challenge, and congratulations basically that you are still very confident that you make it. But in terms of capacity of the company, maybe after 2017, if we continue having very good conditions, is there potential that you can grow further, or is there really some limit to the growth because at one point it's just getting too complex to handle a bigger company?
No, what I think is that the size that we targeted for internal growth in 2017 do not exclude that we could grow further with some investment. So what we are looking now, for instance, is to invest in some specific area of the world in which we think that there are enormous potential, but that we cannot get alone. So we need to use merger and acquisition in order to grow farther and faster in particular areas of the world. At the end of 2017, we may be larger than that figures using the merger and acquisition. What I am referring to is only the internal growth.
Okay. And what areas are the most attractive areas for you at the moment where you could see expansion? Is it Africa or Latin America?
The areas we see now, the highest potential is U.S. market. We are willing to invest into the U.S. market. We think that our specific capacity to be the largest player into the complex heavy civil engineer will make our company needed there now. So we think that we can grow faster into the U.S., and we are looking at opportunity in growing faster in the U.S. We have a good company in the U.S., which is the Ely company. We are working with Ely, which is our company, but we think that acquiring a larger company could be of benefit to our growth into the U.S. market.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Alessandro Tortora of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good evening. Andrea Scauri speaking. I'm sorry I joined later the call. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on Libya. I was wondering if you have any cash trapped in Libya. And second question on the M&A that you were specifying before. Could we assume any intention from the ownership, so from
I'm here in my capacity of Salini Impregilo CEO, so I will not say what will happen on the other capacity. But let's say for the Libyan,
it's a rare case of a CEO and owner. So I would ask. Okay.
Let me expand on that later. But let's say that for the Libya case, we are in a very happy situation of having a cash positive, in terms of we have a debt towards the client and we have cash of the client in our hands. So let's say that in this situation we are not going to lose anything. This is the first thing. And the second thing is that into the 2015 guidance, you were late at the call, so I said that before, but in 2015 guidance and into the business plan 2017, so confirming our targets for the 2017, we have zeroed the Libyan revenues and EBIT coming from that area. So let's say that it is very safe. If that position is going to better, we may have some benefit coming out from that area. For the dilution of the Salini stake, let's say it is not now in our vision to dilute the position, but I do not exclude that if we find some possible, let's say, interesting opportunity in terms of merging with larger companies or creating a larger group, we could consider that as a possibility.
Okay. Is it depending also from the level of the share price? Or I am too specific, sorry for the question.
Let's say the price level, it is when you make a merging with others, is comparable. If both of us are undervalued by the market, it does not make a difference. If of course the Salini price, it is relative to a market as anyone else. So if we are talking about listed company, I think that we will reach, let's say, the same rating as the other companies, because we have some discount that is coming from the fact of being newcomers,
mm-hmm.
and that we have to deliver. And so we are now, let's say, giving our first year of delivery to the market. It is important. So when we will be rated exactly as the other peers or better, if we think that this is what the market will appreciate, well, that time will be the time in which we will start to think to exchange with others if a situation like that comes out.
Okay. Sorry, a very, very last question from me for Mr. Ferrari. The target of net debt in line with the 2014 that you have provided, can you provide a very back of the envelope composition of this debt? Should we imply a lower amount of gross debt and a higher level of cash, or should we assume give or take the same level of mix of this kind of debt? Thank you.
No, we would like to reduce the gross debt, probably the cash and the liquidity position could remain the same that we had at the end of 2014, and of course we can improve the working capital structure. Coming back, one comment by me regarding the possible M&A. Of course, we have started to look at the target, and then the deal structure come after the target. We know the target, and we will study any possibility. So it will be the second phase.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrea.
The next question is from Mr. Gregorio Kielbalk of Natixis. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, Grégoire Thibault from Natixis. Good evening, gentlemen. I have two remaining questions. The first one, could you tell us what's the margin in your current order book? before the Central Coast? That's the first question. And second question regarding Africa, that's a very important market for you, I guess. What's your current view on Africa because of the low oil price environment and budget constraints for some states? Is it still a promising market for the 12 or 18 coming months? Or? Thank you.
Starting from the backlog marginality, it's in line with the business plan assumption. It's around 10% gross.
I was asking for the margin, the EBIT margin in the current backlog.
You're talking about the actual backlog. The actual backlog that we have, it is on site level, is around 10% EBIT margin on the site level.
Okay.
So before general expenses, before head office and corporate.
Okay.
Regarding Africa, some constraint.
No, I see an enormous potential for Africa. We are market leader in Africa. I think that we may have some new projects coming out soon in Africa. There is a great appetite for the investors now to look at African opportunities. There are good marginality in Africa in terms of investment return. So I think that we will see a new flow of investment in some countries in Africa, which will bring opportunity of works for us. And so I am very positive on the Africa market.
It's very important, Gregoire, that African countries were able to access to capital market, starting from the Ethiopian government that issued for the first time a bond on capital market. So the friendly environment is very important for the African countries.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gregoire. Sherry, I think we have time for just one more question.
Okay, sir. The final question is from Ms. Irene Song, a follow-up from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, madam.
Apologies. I just have two very quick follow-up questions. First is for Mr. Solini. You mentioned that the 2015 guidance as well as business plan assumes zero contribution from Libya, but I guess theoretically means that Libya could still make a loss and therefore present a downside risk to your guidance. So just wanted to confirm that with you. The second is for Mr. Ferrari. On working capital, are you able to give any guidance for 15? Thank you.
If there is any downside risk from Libya, we zero the Libya, even a loss on Libya.
No. Let me repeat what I said. So we zeroed the revenues from Libya, and we are holding in our pockets money from the clients in terms of advances. So in this time we do not expect any downside from Libya because of that we are protected by cash availability in our hands. And what was the second question?
Regarding the gross debt target.
The working capital target, we are not giving guidance on that.
Understood. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Much, Irene. Sherry?
Yes, sir. At this time, there are no questions registered.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think this concludes our conference call. Thank you very much for everyone for your participation.
Thank you to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.